Son unto us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have many acquaintances, far fewer friends. Acquaintances exchange information. For them, we carry business cards, little else. Friends are personal. They are peers with whom we confide and share vulnerabilities. Friendship bears a cost to honor and protect. We assume a cross to bear for a friend. For an acquaintance, there is no cost and thus no weight of allegiance to bear. In today's gospel reading from John, we learn that Jesus, following his baptism, decides to go to Galilee. There he finds Philip. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Evangelism is personal, bearing a cross. A questioning Andrew follows Jesus. Where are you staying? Jesus responds, come and see. A chain of conversion begins. Andrew finds his brother, Peter. Philip finds his friend, Nathanael. When Nathanael questions, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip replies, come and see. First, there is a vague questioning, an unsettled spirit. The questions lead to new truths, epiphanies. Andrew and Peter, Philip and Nathanael, discover the Messiah revealed. Of course, it is God who initiates the invitation to a deeper relationship, from acquaintance to friend to adopted son. God creates. He tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. God initiates. Come and see. I believe our Creator always intended to have a loving relationship with His creation. That yearning was put into our DNA at conception. With God, everything is personal. At the first hint of response, God reaches out to convert acquaintance to friend to disciple. He is present at our every waking moment. To Moses, God reveals himself as a burning bush. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. The Creator never met a creature he didn't like. Whether Moses a murderer, King David an adulterer, or Judas a betrayer, no one is beyond his power to redeem. That power was revealed on the cross by his son, the sacrificial lamb without blemish, to atone for all sins, for all time. God did what we couldn't. The walls of hell are forever breached. Today's gospel reading teaches us valuable lessons about encounters, epiphanies, and evangelism. One encounters, all our encounters hold potential and invitation with others and God. For example, Thursday night, I had a late dinner at Waffle House while Diane was in Sarasota. I'd been given a gift card. A man with leg braces was ordering takeout. He looked poor to me. It would cost me nothing to pay his bill. I thought about it, but didn't act on it. I was wearing clericals. There was potential in that moment to spread the gospel with the customer and the waitresses. Who knows what other ripple effects that random kindness might trigger? An opportunity lost, but I'll get another. We all will. Encounters lead to epiphanies. When we make the effort to talk to a stranger for a little bit, the strangeness wears off, and we notice a face with strengths and weaknesses. And my friends, once we put a face on the stranger, he's hard to dismiss or dislike. We extend to him the benefit of a doubt. Even those we initially dislike hold potential to touch us and teach us. In my early 30s, I was a member of Rotary Club in Tryon, North Carolina. A peer of mine and fellow Rotarian was a car salesman in town. I didn't care for him. He was too loud and boorish, I felt. Then one day in the car dealer's office, I saw a picture of a handsome young boy on his desk. "Your son?" I asked idly. "Yes," he said. "My mother and I are very proud of him. Every day we drive him 40 miles south to a special needs school in Spartanburg. One day he hopes to compete in the Special Olympics." As I left his office, I couldn't help but compare my self-centered bachelor lifestyle to that struggling young couple's loving commitment to their challenged son. Their struggle would last a lifetime. It was an epiphany. He rose immeasurably in my esteem. I wasn't given that cross to bear. I'm not sure I could. Many others do. He taught me a lesson. Practice noting one admirable quality in everyone, especially in ones you dislike. It is healing to the spirit and avoids unneeded tension and anger. You don't know the whole story. Someone wise once said, "Cultivate the healing eyes of Christ." Our Lord sees us whole, as we were meant to be in the fullness of our divine potential. Even the meanest of us has worth, because as one orphan put it, "God don't make no junk." Encounters lead to epiphanies when we see Christ in others. When there is a mutual sharing and strengthening of faith, in Christ. As believers, we need each other. That's why regular fellowship in Christ's body, the church, is important. Seeing my neighbor in the next pew on his knees before the cross renews my faith. It becomes personal. Everything about God is personal. From forming my limbs in the womb, to leading me beside still waters, to putting his lost sheep on his shoulders and carrying me in safety to his sheepfold, to becoming the sacrificial lamb and picking up my cross for me. When my faith becomes personal, like my Lord's, I'm ready to evangelize, as did Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, as have his disciples for over 2,000 years. Now it's my turn. The Lamb of God rides on my shoulders and yours in this age. This is our saving truth. We have the living Christ with us. American writer and pastor Frederick Buechner, the evangelist extraordinaire, maintains that we as Christians really have two stories to tell: the story of Jesus and our own. Under guidance from the Holy Spirit, these two stories come together in personal witness. They become a credible authority in spreading the gospel. Mind you, this is about telling, not about converting. Only God converts people. Our task as evangelists is to proclaim, to be as authentic as possible, congruent in word and deed. Conversion is God's business. To God be the glory. When evangelism is reduced to a technique to ensnare people at a weak moment, to count spiritual scalps, it becomes manipulation. It gives evangelism a bad name. Speaking on evangelism in Nairobi at an assembly of the World Council of Churches, Jean Woolfolk said, "The living Christ is the agent of conversion. Christ is not so much with me, the evangelist. He is between me as witness and the other as listener. I point to Christ, I tell his story. But hopefully it is Christ himself who finally meets the other person. A sacred meeting. Because Jesus is present, he lives, a miracle happens. We, the talker and the listener, are both converts. I must look again at Christ because the other person points to him as well. Like the Christ it points to, evangelism is personal. It is more a relational thing than a propositional thing. It can't rely on citing specific verses of Scripture, however meaningful. And creeds of the church are summaries of faith for those who already believe. God's way to the human heart is through the human heart. It requires witnessing to your listener how Jesus made a difference in your life, often at a time when you hurt the most, and still do from time to time. Jesus' self-disclosure comes through self-disclosure, being vulnerable. I believe evangelism has little to do with reciting a one-sentence formula to get saved on the spot. Jesus himself warned of the futility of sowing seeds on rocky soil. When trouble comes, they have no roots and wither. It sets up faith for failure. Authentic evangelism reflects the betweenness Gene Wolfolk spoke of. The disciples of Jesus felt the reality of the words he professed. Like anybody else, the disciples responded much more, to how someone treated them or felt about them than they did to someone simply telling them something. Life-changing truth has always been communicated on a person-to-person level. Who has had the greatest influence on your life? What happened to make it so? Here are some common traits that might emerge in answering those questions. One, those who influenced you the most, though clearly superior, treated you as an equal. Hierarchy didn't determine the relationship. It was between peers. Two, the person exerting the greatest influence didn't just give advice. He or she was both friend and servant. They were real, genuinely interested in what you had to say, showing unfeigned respect and concern for you, even conferring an unmerited sense of dignity. He or she was vulnerable, number three. Open about self-weaknesses. If needed, would not hesitate to ask you for help. They didn't pretend to have it all together. They understood mutuality in relationship. Perhaps some of these traits were operative in the person who most influenced you. Perhaps someone like your life mentor would make the most effective evangelist. After all, she or he has already evangelized you. Perhaps you can evangelize others. Simply tell the story of the Lord of Lords from your heart and let Christ convert the next heart. From my heart to yours. Amen. And now let us stand and together affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene.